Hey everybody, thanks for downloading Top Shelf Films. Just as a warning that there will be spoilers about the film that we are discussing today. So just remember that and enjoy.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Top Shelf Films. I'm Clay.
I'm Tony.
And this week we saw a movie about a device you use to soak up things, maybe around the house, outside the house.
Which is, of course, a teddy bear. Yes, we saw Paddington.
Nature?
No.
Or, like, pretty much anywhere, you think. We saw SpongeBob, Sponge Out of Water.
Sponge out of water.
But really, he was in water for most of it.
Yeah.
For the record.
Like, a lot of
it. I should say, not a very good name. Not a good title, guys. Great job, Nickelodeon.
God damn it.
Ugh. Okay, we saw SpongeBob Sponge Out of Water. It is a children's slash people our age movie. There's a weird,
I don't even
persistent
think,
fan base.
No, it's not even kids movie. It's not even for us. It's straight up a stoner movie.
Well, yeah, but SpongeBob is kind of always like that. Oh, I mean, kids can enjoy it, and so can people that are not high.
This one was, it was way more
fully like, designed for that.
Yeah, this one, they went at it full force. But in a good way.
Let's go to the numbers.
No.
See what happened this week in number news.
Finally, that tyrant known as American Sniper is not number one. It was destroyed. I couldn't think of words, so that was the first one I thought of.
All right.
That's not where it happened. Number one was SpongeBob. Sponge Out of Water with $55 million, followed by American Sniper. And then opening the same weekend, we had Jupiter Ascending. At 18, Seventh Son at $7 million.
Ooh.
And number five is Project Almanac. Yeah.
No
Seventh
good.
Son made
some rough movies this week. Jupiter Ascending, Seventh Son did not have very good scores. SpongeBob, Sponge Out of Water, however, 73% on Rotten Tomatoes. Well earned. It is an equal percentage to American Sniper at this point.
Which you would find a lot of comparisons of the two movies.
Yeah, this is also a realistic portrait of someone fighting a war.
I was really weirded out.
And that guy's name
that,
is Antonio Banderas.
I was weirded out with that scene where SpongeBob was on the phone with his wife getting shot at by...
And he was like, I'm ready to come back into that water, back home.
And that baby looked really fake. It was
They used in this movie.
SpongeBob.
It's weird. And the consensus is this.
The SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, won't win any... won't win over many viewers who aren't fans of the show. But for the converted, it's another colorful burst of manic fun.
Okay, Werner. Nice job. So... as always, before we get into the plot, we've got a note from our sponsors. This week's sponsor, this week's episode of Top Shelf Films is brought to you by Whips and Chains. Just prepare for next week, guys. Buy yourself some Whips and Chains and hit your loved ones with them in a sexual way. 50 Shades of Grey.
Literally, your main character of this movie is an item that could be a sponsor. And you
no,
pass
we already talked about sponges earlier. We don't need Whips and Chains.
Okay.
Be prepared for the sex later.
Okay.
Next week on Top Shelf Films.
Are we gonna just start talking about the
no? No, we don't know anything about it yet. We are going to see it today, though, so everyone knows.
So this
these episodes will come out very close or just at the same time. Who knows?
So Clay's sponsor is a preview for the episode that you're about to watch or listen to next.
My sponsor is this week's episode sponsored by women who are A-okay with getting battered. Thank you, 50 Shades of Grey. E.L. James, right? Is that the author's name?
I don't
know. Author?
Like I know anything
about
doesn't
matter. Let's, okay. All right, man. Let's get into it!
All right.
SpongeBob, Sponge Out of Water. The lead in this film... That is the live-action lead, like the only live-action character that actually kind of matters at all in this movie is
Antonio Banderas.
Also, it occurs to me now, and I'm very confused by this, that in the early trailers for this movie, when they were out of water, Welcome to the Jungle was playing,
Yeah,
and one of them got kicked to a cameo where Slash was playing on the beach, and he was not in the film.
They cut it out.
That's really disappointing.
I know.
I forgot about that, because when they were on the beach in the movie, I was like, man, I'm so psyched to see that Slash thing, and it never happened, and I totally forgot about it until right now. That is so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. There were, I mean, there weren't really cameos, I guess. There were voice cameos. That was something.
Some.
Just not really the two big ones right at the end, which you could talk about because you were big into that.
I was super excited. All right, guys, so essentially at the end of the movie, well, there's a character who is a dolphin.
Yeah.
Who is the watcher of the universe, but, you know, he just works for wages and stuff.
He, like, makes sure that planets don't collide into each other and time and space don't, like, collapse.
And then it does, and then he loses his job. Yeah. It was crazy thing.
It was a story about unemployment in America. The whole movie was an allegory for the unemployment rate.
But basically, he starts having, like, this rap battle with these seagulls who are... There's seagulls, like, throughout the movie.
Well, it's the seagulls and Antonio Banderas' character.
But these seagulls start doing a rap battle with the dolphin's name is Bubbles. And at first, it just seemed like, oh, this is funny. It's a random rap battle. But then when you really notice the style that's done and the way it's edited, you start to think, hey, this looks a lot like the YouTube sensation, Epic Rap Battles of History.
Yep.
And then...
Lo and behold, it is.
Yes, the two voices of the seagulls are the two guys who run Epic Rap Battles of History. And that is for a very few amount of people in the world.
Yeah, like, that's such an insanely specific cameo and reference. It's perfect for the crowd of people that are our age who like SpongeBob. Like, that totally caters to them. And, like, kids would like it, too, I'm sure, but they wouldn't understand the reference. But it was fun, and,
it's not, like...
It was such a nice surprise. Yeah. Like,
it's not even something, though, done in a way that people who aren't, like, maybe if people are aware of Epic Rap Battles, it wouldn't click right away. Like, it's
probably
really
not,
super subtle, but it is so amazing. This movie does whatever it wants.
It's got,
literally, whatever
The whole
wants.
Point, I feel like, of making this movie was Nickelodeon Animation Studios was like, let's just make a movie where we can do, like, 10 different animation styles just for fun.
The way I...
Because they did so many different styles, 2D, 3D, kinds of different...
It almost felt like they were... like, first proposed, like, an idea for, like, a SpongeBob special or TV movie.
Could be,
And in, like, the middle of writing it, they kind of were just like, you know what, let's just keep going and let's actually try to make a movie.
And because the way it worked...
It came out of nowhere.
It is really segmented up. Like, it feels like it could be several episodes of a show, but it does have the one continuing story thread that the Krabby Patty secret formula is taken by Antonio Banderas, like, out of the water so that he can make his own.
Yeah. It's
and he's great.
It's a very...
Oh, Antonio Banderas was so good in this movie. He was maybe the most cartoony thing in this whole movie.
Yeah.
And he was a man. A live man.
It was kind of like when we saw Penguins, and we're like, Benedict Cumberbatch really, really went for it.
Antonio,
like,
Banderas just killed it.
You could tell he was having so much fun.
He was a pirate that was running a food truck. And that, like, he really gave the role his all. It was so much fun. And, like, you could tell all the voice actors were obviously enjoying themselves and stuff, too. And they were all, I mean, they always kind of give it 100%, I feel like, that cast. But it was, oh, man, it was very good.
I will say this about this movie. I feel like...
Everybody worked hard.
I mean, I loved this movie, but I feel like some people will not like it if they are not that big of fans or know SpongeBob that much, because it is these characters, like, just full force. Like, they're not trying to, like, get more exposure or whatever, get new people into SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Like, this is straight up for people who love
SpongeBob.
It's
just like,
SpongeBob.
Here we go. You guys know what's going on with all these people. There's, like, very little exposition to explain character relations and stuff. It is really, like, the level of entry is, there's a high bar, but you're familiar at all with the characters, you won't have a hard time. And it was, oh man,
the idea,
they really did. They just pushed it so hard.
The idea of the plot is so crazy because essentially it's about the special ingredient for the Krabby Patty is stolen and the entire town of Bikini Bottom just goes into complete anarchy because yeah, they can't it becomes get like their Krabby Patties.
Post-apocalyptic instantaneously.
Sandy becomes kind of like the old crazy man who's got, you know, pictures and pages like taped over all
knows,
over.
Who knows like the prophecy.
Exactly. It was so funny.
Sandy, when they were out of water, was my favorite part of the whole movie. The fact that she was just a giant squirrel. Anatomically correct squirrel. Yeah. Like, that was amazing.
It was really fun. I will say, I did feel like the movie slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, there were some lulls. When they got out of water, yeah, it was like, the whole time I was thinking, like, man, lot of this movie has passed, and they're not in that animation style that pretty much the entire trailer was.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is pretty weird.
But the whole, I love the whole, beginning, and then when they got out of water, I felt like I don't know, there was some momentum lost a little bit.
I agree with that, too, and the superpowers thing all kind of came out of nowhere, but I didn't mind it, because it was all entertaining. It was just so fun.
That's why I feel like it might have been,
The Mr. Krabs robot was really fun. I liked him the best.
Why I feel like they didn't originally write this as a movie, because everything seemed so together at first, and then the second half just kind of felt a little slapped on, I guess. Yeah. But it was still
They did write it as a movie, it seems like they probably just used all the same TV writers that they normally use, and maybe they just weren't accustomed to the format, and that's why the lulls happened or whatever. But overall, it was really well put together, and aside from the lulls and stuff, it was fun the whole time.
Oh,
a lot of laughs. It was very funny. I did not expect to have that much fun watching it so much of the time.
And let's go bring up probably both of our favorite parts.
Oh, but, yeah.
There's a part where SpongeBob and Plankton have to go time travel.
Yep.
And when they try and travel, of course, it looks like really weird and goofy and kind of like what SpongeBob would do. But they play this song, and it is so great.
This every single time they time travel, and they do it several times in probably like this 20-minute span.
It's so funny every time they do it. This is the song. Well, yeah. So you just see SpongeBob flying around nonsense. They're doing weird shape changes.
Ooh. It's good.
It's so fun.
I was into that too. I'm happy you know what that is, because I was trying to find that song last week to listen to. And
if you guys are wondering, it's Nerd. That's right.
It's NERD. That's how you pronounce that, sir.
I'm just going to say Nerd.
It's an acronym.
People get it.
I don't know what it stands for. Probably Nerd, but terrible.
No one
But
ever.
We were just talking about this. Band names that are acronyms, but that they just got rid of the acronym part, like AFI or CKY, where it's just letters then, and they don't acknowledge the acronym at all anymore. I wonder if NERD is like that.
Could be.
Because that's, I feel like POD is probably something like that too. I was just talking about that over the weekend with my girlfriend.
And yeah. It
well, did we figure it out? No one ever really dies.
That's dumb.
They all the bands that are acronyms like that have really just stupid. That's why they just go by the acronym and don't ever say what it stands for.
Except
they're
for
all so stupid. Well,
except
CKY
for CKY
is
really
that's
dark
that
though.
Camp kill yourself.
Yeah, so makes sense why they.
Yeah,
why CKY never does songs for SpongeBob movies.
Yeah, if they had done. Every single time they time travel, that would have been crazy.
Oh my god. If a SpongeBob movie featured both CKY and Epic Rap Battles,
man.
Best picture.
That's, and I would like to acknowledge the fact that the space dolphin Bubbles was voiced by Matt Berry, who is he was from the IT Crowd. And he did Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, and he did The Mighty Boosh on Adult Swim. Mm-hmm. He's a British comedian, and he is so funny. And he hasn't done a lot in past years, so it was really, really, really cool to get to hear him voice act in this movie, because I love him so much. And he just, I think something happened where he made a show, and it just did not do well, and it was his life's work. It was just his comedy project he'd worked on forever, and it just really crushed him, and he just didn't do anything for a long time because he was just so sad that his show wasn't well received or whatever. It was something like that, yeah. Where it was really disappointing because he is hilarious. So it was cool to hear him in this movie. He did great work. All the voice actors that weren't part of the main cast of SpongeBob already did a really good job. Like, everybody really tried. Everybody who voiced the seagulls that were, like, following around slash annoying Antonio Banderas the whole time, they were all really good.
Yeah.
The cute one whose name was Kyle, who at the one part they pretend like he was made into chicken wings, even though he's a seagull. And then he gets out of, like, a porta potty and hops in a taxi, and a pigeon is like, "Where are you headed, buddy?" And he's like, "Just drive." There are some ludicrous setups with those seagulls. It's a good movie,
it's
man.
It's so crazy. It's so much fun. If you go to it and you don't enjoy it, I feel like, I don't know.
You probably hate life and cool, fun things.
You know, it's the kind of thing where you just let yourself go of any expectations in a movie.
Yeah.
Because SpongeBob doesn't do it.
Just let it take you away. Like that cowboy from that song that girl sings.
I don't know what
is that
you're talking
the DC
about.
Chicks? I don't know.
Are you like Earl is Dead?
No, like Cowboy Take Me Away or whatever. That's a song. It's like Cowboy Take Me Away.
Oh, you're thinking of Korn.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, okay, yeah. Cause then right afterwards he's like,
that's their bassist right there. He likes to slap a lot.
Good. Yeah. Well, he has to because the strings are so loose you can't pick them.
Guys, remember to listen to our
Hey guys, we're talking about Korn.
Listen to our spin-off podcast.
It's called Korn Chowder.
Korn Chowder.
it's a beautiful podcast where we talk about Korn, the band.
And the show.
And the vegetable. And the show Chowder.
You know, we mix up a Korn album with a episode of Chowder, and we talk if it works.
Yeah. The first episode is called, Who's the Real Freak on a Leash? So, you guys tune in to our totally real, definitely real podcast called Korn Chowder.
Great, now we need to do this.
Oh, God, no.
We need to make Korn Chowder.
I envision this being a very short episode anyway, since we have to go see 50 Shades of Grey, and that's obviously the big show of these two.
Unfortunately.
So, this one, though, top shelf.
Yes, top shelf.
How long did that even take? That was a very short review, but it's a good movie, man. It's fun, and there's nothing real bad you could say about it.
If you know SpongeBob and you like SpongeBob in the past, you're going to like this movie.
It's there.
It's straight up.
It's just, if you don't, you even might like it. It might, like, this could get you into it, I suppose, but if you have a passing familiarity with them, you'll like it.
If you don't know much about SpongeBob or anything, go to this movie and completely shut off anything in your mind. Just watch it. Don't try to make sense of anything.
Yeah. It's gonna be fun for you. Fun for me.
Well,
let's do some airline bottles.
Do you have one?
Pew! Not till you have one, right, probably.
Give me a second. I gotta think what I watch here.
I need one to think about in my...
Oh, you know what I'm gonna bring up?
Brain.
This one. And sorry, bro. You're not stealing this one. I'm taking this one. We're going with TV. Guys, Better Call Saul.
Oh!
The spinoff to Breaking Bad.
So good.
So far, it is... like, on par with Breaking Bad for me.
It's got
so good.
Its own voice and its own tone, and it is different, and the main character is so different and great, but it has the same, like, spirit as Breaking Bad did, and it's clearly the same people treating it with, like, a lot of care. It's a very, very good show.
With it, they really set up almost like a universe. Like, you feel like there's a specific world with just the way characters are and stuff like that. Like, it doesn't feel like it's trying to be real and stuff like that. Although, I mean, some of the stuff is real. It's, I don't know. It's really great. If you like Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul is definitely worth all the talk. So there, Better Call Saul. Clay, what do you have?
Ooh, I'm also going to do TV this week, and it's not new TV, but it's TV that's very accessible because you can see all of it on Netflix. A good amount of the time, probably more often than when I do TV.
I don't believe you, and I...
Let's go to the tape!
I...
Nope, we don't have one. Okay, so
I should have just reacted like, oh, I can't remember we.
This week I have been rewatching the first few seasons of 30 Rock and will make my way through the full series again because I was reading something about it. I can't remember where I learned that the finale of 30 Rock is widely considered by like a good portion of the television critics community to be the greatest television finale of all time. And I thought about it and I remembered really liking it, but there was a little bit of a like rift kind of disconnection because I haven't seen it in so long. And the last few seasons I've only seen once as they aired, but the other ones I had seen a few times. So I'm just rewatching the whole thing. And guys, 30 Rock, it's so smart. I mean, if you haven't watched it and you're the right kind of person for it, I would be surprised because it's, I mean, people know what it is. People have gotten it out there. But I would just like to offer it one plug real quick here because I've been rewatching it and it's so smart and so funny. And I'm so happy that it stayed on TV all the way until its conclusion. And it gets me very excited for Tina Fey's new project on Netflix with... what's her name? The Ellie Kemper, girl who escapes a cult and then has to live her life. But it's a comedy, so sounds fun.
I mean, I laughed during. I believe Marcy it's called May, the Marlene, so I'm sure I'll laugh
the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. That's what that is called. It's gonna be good because 30 Rock's great. Hey, airline bottles. What are we gonna be seeing next week? 50 Shades of Grey today.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right now, we're going to go see 50 Shades of Grey.
We seriously probably talked about 50 Shades of Grey more than we have SpongeBob.
The length of time between this podcast and the 50 Shades of Grey podcast will be the length of 50 Shades of Grey. Because we're like going to go see it right now, pretty much.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's going to be real good. We'll have our friend Maya on as a guest. She insisted and she begged for us to find a time. And this is going to be so much fun to have her here for this podcast.
I don't know. I'm really dreading this.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You don't know what it's like having a podcast with her, man. She's she's brutal.
So look forward to whatever that was.
And I look forward to hearing a text from her in 3 weeks when she listens to this. And she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah. So as always, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Truth About Clay.
I'm at Tone4K.
TONEFURKEY. Oh, I did it. Yes. You didn't fuck me up that time by saying Furk. All right. As always, download every episode that you guys would like to hear. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave a comment. It always helps. Give us a review or something if you haven't.
And share.
Or if you have, make a new account. Do it again.
Yeah.
We could use it. Let everybody know.
Fucking fix the system, bro.
Fix the system. We're going to stuff that ballot box, brother.
We should start.
This election is going to be a mistrial. I don't understand politics.
We should make a political podcast.
No.
Fix the system.
We should not.
We'd be so good. It will come on right after Corn Chowder. It'll be a good Sunday night for everyone.
Great. Okay, bye, everybody.
Everybody.